Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Hey, what up, everybody? This is Collective Minds Radio. Welcome back, y'all. This is Mufasa Ra. Got love. Whoop, almost called her by her dead name of Love Lachey. She has been reborn to rise
exactly.
The star.
Look,
and Brother
Kale.
Yeah, peace. What up, y'all?
What's the word, everybody? Everybody good today?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. Besides trying to beat the heat, it's all good.
Oh, it's so hot out there.
Ain't playing no games. No games at all.
The pool's
well,
look, not
like you said like, again, you know, anybody want to make any quick announcements, any shout-outs?
We'll shout out the Gemini season. You know, it's a very dynamic time of year. I'm sure everybody
yeah,
will
come
agree
on.
With me.
Yeah, come on, drum roll.
Yep. That was gonna be my
man,
shout out. We got a special birthday for Rising
yeah.
Star. Our birthday passed this week, so happy solar return. You did a few laps around the sun, and you know, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yes.
Welcome to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's awesome being a Gemini. Let's admit that.
Yeah, you got like some Geminis in your company. Tupac was a Gemini. Yeah.
It's a
lot of Geminis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's up. Brother
yeah.
K, you got any announcements to make?
No, not really. Just besides, it's, you know, my boy Anthony Bourdain committed suicide this week for people that didn't hear. He used to host
mm-hmm.
the food shows and the travel shows on CNN and go around the world eating different foods and so on and so forth. But, apparently he committed suicide in France and kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that from the guy, but, you know. Shout out to him. I guess he just couldn't take it. I was like, I'm going to go on and make the transition. So,
man.
Yeah,
that's rough.
That,
suicide ain't no joke. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people taking their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terrible. Well, you know, I wanted to make an announcement because last week I made an announcement about Louis Farrakhan. His eldest son had passed, Louis Farrakhan Jr., and they had his burial. His funeral was this Friday. The even more sad news about it was after the everything, the ceremony was over, they say that Louis Farrakhan started to feel ill, and he was even hospitalized. So he held up during the ceremony pretty good, but after that he got a little ill and he had to go to the hospital. And they were going to keep him, but he has a daughter that's a nurse. And they released his daughter to they released him to his daughter's care. So, you know, thank God, praise Allah that Farrakhan is doing okay. He's out the hospital and he's in his daughter's care. So, I'm asking that everybody, you know, keep Farrakhan's family in your prayers and on your minds or hearts. You know, that's a dear brother. That's a strong warrior for us black people here in America and throughout the world. You know, he's a great man. So I'm sending out speedy recovery for Brother Louis Farrakhan and a quick
indeed.
Healing to him and his family.
Indeed. Yes, I am here.
My other announcement is y'all boy made that jump today.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Talk about it.
I made that jump today, y'all. That's right. It's 100% going down. I'm soldiering for the nation. So,
all right. So you got
right.
baptized
y'all,
today.
Yeah, I got baptized in the waters of Elijah Muhammad.
There you go.
Yeah. I've been running away from for years, you know. So the fight ended today. I'm tired of battling with it. I'm tired of running. You know, time to come on into the ranks. So the journey has begun. It already began, but it's time for it to officially begin. So
and what's
going
to make it official? Like, what is it now? Like, what you've been, you know, like, what do you, what's your forecast for your new?
The new me?
Yeah.
Is that what you've asked?
Yeah,
well, honestly, it's just to continue to do the work that I already somewhat been doing is, you know, working hard for our people, for black people in America, uplifting, mm-hmm. encouraging our people, you know, studying more of Elijah's teachings, you know, becoming more of a student, you know, like just getting more into my studies, getting more of a knowledge of self. And but like I said, the big part is just being disciplined and helping my people, you know, being wise enough to help my people and wake up and try to help wake up the mentally dead, which is a journey I've been on. But, hey, it was time to jump into the brotherhood and get with the boys that have been doing it for a minute. You know,
okay,
they've been
so
doing it since the 30s.
New brothers that you can, you know, build with and...
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's what structure.
I was trying to. That's what I was asking. Like, what's the right? Okay, gotcha. I get it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. More structure.
I'm like,
you
still soldiering. What's that official?
Yeah.
What makes it official now? You know, if these because mm-hmm. these is what you're already doing. So now, mm-hmm. now what makes it official?
Basically, like I said, learning more and studying more of a knowledge of self and our history. And that way, when you got a lost brother or sister out there that needs help or wants to ask questions, you can help them a long way. You can get them, you know, steer them in a better direction to get some help, you know, because
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad laid out a plan for black people many moons ago. And after you study all the plans, you know, that we didn't try to do follow as a people. No one can deny that the plan laid out by Elijah Muhammad, the messenger of God, is the greatest. We just not doing what we're supposed to do. If we would come together and follow the plan, I've said this, you know, in the past, then you will see a difference. You see so many people say, you know, what the nation doing? What Farrakhan doing? Well, the plan is there. The plan and the structure is there. Now, ask yourself, people who are asking that, look at yourself and say, what are you doing to benefit your people? Now, that's the big question. But like I said, the plan, the program that Elijah laid out is ready to roll. We just need to get on board and start moving. So, yeah, so basically, yeah, like I said, studying more, knowledge yourself, and just getting with some brothers and sisters that got a program laid out to wake up the mentally dead out here. So that's what your boy is on. You know, but we're going to chop it up. We're going to get more into it. We're going to do, we probably have to do a show on it later on down the road. But we're going to get into it. So, yeah. So, yeah, everybody out there, you know, once again, welcome to Collective Minds Radio. If y'all want to call in, you know, we're going to open the call lines up. Probably another 20, 30 minutes or so. And, you know, come on, call in, be it with us. If you want to just listen in, that's cool. Today, we're going to discuss something that kind of kicked off last week. We were discussing Roseanne Barr's situation, you know, and what is racist. Because, you know, Roseanne was accused of putting out a racist tweet. So today, we wanted to go a little bit deeper into that and talk about, are there any boundaries or limitations that comedians should not cross? You know, what can keep them in the lane, in a safe lane of not being labeled as a racist? You know, a lot of people say comedy is freedom of speech, and you should be allowed to say whatever you want to say. But You see where it got Roseanne? Got her in a little hot water. You see what I'm saying? So we want y'all comments, and you know, we're gonna talk about that. What y'all think? So open up to you, Sister Roger. What you think about a comedian crossing boundaries and limitations? Should they do it? Should they have freedom of speech to say whatever? Or should they, you know, kind of fall back and be careful of the things they say and be leery of hurting people or offending people?
Well, I'm all for freedom of speech, but I'm also for the understanding that there's a time and a place for everything, too. You know, you don't want to be excessive with things. So just because we can drink water, we're not supposed to drink it all day. That does not help us to drink it all day. So we don't want to be excessive. So I say that because with the freedom of speech, yeah, we have freedom of speech. It's always here. But we don't have to utilize it all the time. So I do think that there is a point in time where we have to use our, you know, discretion, you know. And, I mean, just because you decide or make a decision not to say something based off of a discretion, that doesn't mean you saying, I don't have freedom of speech. No, you're using it. It's a tool. You use it. Sometimes you use it. Sometimes you don't. So I just think that we should have boundaries just overall, you know. When it comes to words, you know, and you know, and how we use it, I just think we should, you know, things are just should be, you know, should have discretion. You know, if you see someone that's starving and hungry, I mean, you shouldn't walk in the room where they are and just be like, all these old starving, hungry folks get on my nerves. You know, you just have to get a little more mindful, you know. So although I understand, I'm a humorous person anyway, at least I like to think that I am. So I can get it. I understand where they're coming from. You know, I'm thankful that it doesn't affect me the same way it may affect someone else that may not see things the same way I see things. You know, if people can come to that point, maybe it wouldn't be such a big bother. But it's a bother because you just have some people just that see things differently and they get affected differently. So that's why I think we need to have discretion, you know. And I've been around a lot of comedians, and I do know that is like a number one cop-out for a lot of them. That they just figure, I'm a comedian. But they think people are just supposed to chalk up everything they say just because they're a comedian. And I totally disagree with that. It's like you can say you're a comedian, but what is a comedian? That's just something that you just calling yourself. You're still a person that you still have to, you know, act like a human. You can make people laugh at certain times, yeah, but everything is not a joke. You know, you don't be nothing. I don't think should be just excessive use. Everything is not a funny moment. Everything is not a, you know, sad moment. You know, so it just depends. So that's it for me. That's just how I feel about the whole situation. When it comes to that, you know, we should all have boundaries for some, you know, at some point.
All right, now before we get to Brother Kev's comment, I do want to ask you this as a just to touch back in on what we had discussed last week. And you ain't got to go too deep into details. I just want you to answer, you know, the question with a yes or no. So with Roseanne Barr's comment.
How you going to tell me to answer a question with a yes or no?
Well, because we went into this last week. So we basically discussed and put it out there. So we didn't chopped it up on it. So based off of last week's conversation and processing over the week, would you say Roseanne Barr's tweet was a racist tweet?
Well.
Oh, see, that wasn't yes or no.
Because you know I don't do that. Sometimes I'm.
Then she go breaking the rules.
Yeah, I told you.
Oh my God.
I'm not with you.
Oh my God.
So,
oh boy. Okay, come on.
All right. So, to be totally honest and true to myself, I must say I don't know, because I think to know, I will have to know her intent behind it. I think it's possible for her or anybody to use a phrase like that and not be racist. I think that's possible. But I, of course, also know that it's just as possible for someone, her or anyone, to use that phrase and definitely be racist. So if I'm going to be true to who I am, I must say I don't know, because I will have to know her intent. However, I do see a lot of, you know, things, like if I'm going to keep a track and a note and tags and all that, I can put a lot of strikes on the racist side. But I won't come to a definite conclusion, because I will have to know her true intent and her heart when she said it. So that's the best way I can answer that question.
All right. Brother KF, what's up? You guys, you ready to give us your opinion on this, on the subject? And feel free to answer that question when you get done with your bill.
Ah, okay, indeed. I'm gonna make it. It ain't gonna be too long. But as far as comedians having boundaries, because again, I'm a fan of comedy, and you know, along with Writer's Soul, we've been around a lot of comedians, and you know, I think that they should have. You gotta have certain boundaries. You know what I'm saying? I agree with the freedom of speech, and I agree with, you know, you turning serious things and making light of those. But when we take into the context of society and things that go on, you do have to have certain boundaries. That's just what it is. Like, for instance, when you're a part of a certain group, typically you can make jokes about that group and it not be, you know, as offensive. Like, gay people can make gay jokes or call each other fags or whatever, and that's cool. Women can call each other B's or, you know, H's or whatever in a joking manner, and that can be cool. You know what I'm saying? But if you step outside of that group and you want to make fun of that group or do, you know, make certain jokes, a lot of times those kind of, you know, touch the fringe and may get people in a, may get people upset. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you, because it's kind of hard, because on one end, I feel like as a comedian, you should have the freedom of speech and to say whatever you want. But then on the other hand, you do have to be responsible. You know, you do have to be socially responsible with your commentary and with your, you know, with your monologue, with your comedy monologue that you have. You do got to be socially responsible, you know, especially with the climate today where a lot of things are politically correct and, you know, people try to, you know, people, a lot of people are a little more sensitive and their antennas are up when it comes to certain comments about certain groups. So when it comes to Roseanne's comment, I believe that it was definitely racist, given the context and the, like I said, the historical context of how monkey images have been used to dehumanize black people. So you can call it what you want. Now, what I will say is, if we in a situation where we just take away history and there's no racism, there's no white supremacy, there's no none of that, and black and white people are on the same playing field, then yes, it was just a joke. But we cannot separate ourselves from the historical context of this country, of how black people have been treated and how white people have treated them. Like, we can't separate that tweet or that quote unquote joke from the entire scope of what she was talking about. She basically called a black woman a monkey, which throughout history, through Hollywood, different images of Jim Crow, black people have been called monkeys. Why? It started out as a joke, but it was also to dehumanize and take away, you know, their human qualities and say that they're dumb, savages, and this type of thing. And I think Roseanne knew that because, again, she came back and said that if I knew that the woman was black, which I don't believe, but she said if she knew the woman was black, she wouldn't have tweeted that because even she know not to, you know, call black people monkeys and make those type of implications or imply that she's a son of a daughter of a monkey or this type of thing. You know, so I think within that context, we have to keep that in mind. Like, if the power dynamics were different and there was no such thing as racism and everything was everything, then yeah, okay, it would be just a joke. But that's not the country and the climate that we live in. We know full well that a white person making fun or calling or implying that a black person is a monkey, that is racist. That's like racism 101. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like y'all giving her the benefit of the doubt, you know, which is cool. But like I say, I'm going to err on the side of caution. I'm going to just call it for what it is. And I'm going to go by this, too, and I'm going to close on this. Because I learned, like, I don't just be saying these things just because I don't like white people, I hate white people. No, I study, I do research, and I listen to white people who say that they're not racist. I listen to what they say. And I also study elders like, you know, Neely Fuller, Dr. Francis Press Welsing. These are people who have doctors who have studied extensively on race and racism. So I don't just be talking out of emotion or just because I don't like white people. I try to draw logical conclusions when I see things based on behavior, based on things they say, and based on study.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like I just hate Roseanne and I know. I'm doing this based on study, and if other white people call her racist, then chances are you're doing something racist. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you what.
That word loosely, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, all right, we got you, Brother K, and we're going to get back into this. But
yeah,
what we need to do now is we got to bring in our special guest, y'all. We got a special guest call in, and we're going to let him give us his opinion and his breakdown on this topic. We got Chris Thomas, one of the original Kings of Comedy, the original host of Kings of Comedy, the original host of BET. This is why I know you. I mean, I love the brother on Rap City. Original host of BET's Rap City, two-time Comedy Award winner, Radio 1 host, Chris Thomas. So can we give a round of applause for our brother Chris Thomas? Chris Thomas, are you there, my brother?
Hello. This is Barack. I'm calling in for Chris.
Indeed, Barack.
This is Barack Obama. I think that, Chris, I'm going to get the phone to him in a minute, but I'm going to speak right now.
Good. We appreciate you, Mr. Barack. Thank you, Mr. Barack. Go again. We would not dishonor you. You have the floor.
Let me say this. When I was in office, I tried to get everyone, and my slogan was, it's time for change. 9 years later, we are still where we were in the 1900s. This person said this and that. Person No one can stop you but yourself. What Roseanne said, let it be said. I would rather know what a person thinks about me, take away from television, because she had a show. They're still bread and butter on them. We get a little bit too sensitive. We're trying to pretend that we are gods, or we are Jesus, or we are the ones that chose us. And that's all I got to say now. I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Obama.
Indeed.
Brother Chris, we appreciate you bringing Barack on with you, man. Hopefully you got some more friends that you can give us their opinion too.
Yeah, we hang out every now and then. I mean, Michelle don't let him out of the house, but They got that daughter. His daughter is about to graduate. So I kind of like run into him every now and then at Bing's Chili Bowl. That's a favorite landmark here.
Okay.
So I listened to y'all discussion on the topic. This is what I have to say. I believe in Jesus Christ. And for years when we were being tortured and called the N-word, mm-hmm. we was on our knees hard, praying, saying, Lord, don't let people treat us like animals. We're not animals. We're not monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got that break of freedom, and that's, and don't get me wrong now, we can pack up tomorrow and go to Africa and find out who does it better. Does America do it better or does Africa do it better? As mm-hmm. I've seen lately on the television, everybody's trying to get over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have an opinion about why, because we do it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We do it to ourselves. Not one person that's listening can make any changes other than have their own opinions about what they would do. You can't, you in the studio, LaTanya, all you can ever do is sit and say that you wish it could be better. And that's all I pray each and every day, that it get better. Because at the end of the day, in our community, we don't own too much. We might have money, but we don't own the grocery stores. We don't own the CVS's. But I can tell you one thing, the people that we argue about are still making sure that we get those provisions, if I'm am correct.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
It would be crazy if we wake up in the morning and the nearest grocery store we could go to was 30 or 40 miles away. We have to understand, let those people who are biggest, those people who are leaders, they're going to be hated anyway. You can give everybody $1 million, and we're going to bring make an excuse. They're going to make excuse that them having money made their life worse.
Yeah.
You know,
I
I'm kind of like this with comedy. You say you got to be, and you have to be sensitive to what you're saying anyway, because there's always going to be somebody who's up unhappy. Or just put it this way, when they had prayer in school, it wasn't the whole, it was probably like a small percentage, like 3% of people said they didn't want to pray in school. And guess what? Those other 97% of people had to suffer because somebody said they didn't want to have prayer in school. So who are we listening to? Are we listening to the right or are we listening to the wrong?
Right. Right. I got to ask you this, brother.
Correct me.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me. Bill Cosby, out of 30 years, I don't know if he did it or not, but he seemed like he did it because he didn't have no answers. He couldn't talk for himself. If he could talk for himself, obviously he was a celebrity, and I've been in show business a long time. And women are attracted to men, just like men are attracted to women. Now, you can't drug them to try to have romance, but you have to be realistic with yourself. 30 years is a long time to complain.
Yeah, that's
true. So you
true.
Can basically put that under the rap, too, or anybody else, all these people who are. And I just got finished doing a show at a fundraiser, guy running for senator. And I've spoken to a lot of ladies, just like ladies have spoken to me. I've had some squeeze me on my butt, some done things that were improper. But guess what? I enjoyed it. What I'm going to complain for, you don't get those days too many. You don't get those days. You know, everybody is going to age and get older.
So what you saying, Chris, that 30 years from now, so 30 years from now, you ain't going to try to bring them women to court, is you?
Oh. You know, when I was 14, I was victimized by a girl that was 18. I didn't press no charges because it felt good.
I'm with you, bro. You know, we was talking. Huh?
People don't understand this. Women choose who they want, but if a man say that he tell a woman no, then he's weak. Or mother men going to say, why didn't you? When a woman says no, and when a woman says no and a man does something, now he's, and let me get this politically correct. No one should grab and touch a woman if she doesn't want to be touched. But there's many men and myself who have been groped by women, but I ain't. I'm glad that I tricked somebody on.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got to. I'm not gonna drug them though. I mean, I want them to be in their right mind. I want to know. I want them to look me in my face and know it's me.
Right. You know, brother, right before you had called in, we was
But it's not one that really people can look and call your radio show and say that, oh, this and that. Because what you gonna do? It's been going on forever, and I believe by the time this world, the God comes and this world ends, we'll still be at the same place that we are now.
Yeah, we do want to get your opinion though about going too far. We want to get your opinion about, because you know, like you say, you've been doing comedy for a long time. You've been around,
exactly.
You know, different types of comedians. Do you think that, you know, comedians should be more sensitive to the stuff they say, or should it be no holds barred? Should a comedian, just on the strength that they are a comedian,
be
allowed
no
to say whatever they want to say?
It's only words. It is only words.
Mm-hmm.
It is only words. I mean, obviously, your last a comedian guest, he feels just like I feel. But you cannot make it seem like everybody. So now it makes comedians afraid to say what they want to say, and now everybody will start sounding alike. We got too much of that now. Comedians who are just getting into the game, I can't knock anybody, but I do oppose.
Oh yeah, can you still there, bro?
Hello. Yeah, but I do oppose other comedians doing my jokes or doing anybody's jokes. We have a dying industry, We got YouTube, we got Instagram, we got Netflix. I have a comedy club that I just opened this weekend, and what everything can go right can sometimes go wrong. Here we had a beautiful spot, and guess what? The air conditioning goes out. So you thinking about good things that's going to be said on Groupons? Guess that air conditioning, and I explained to them that the unit had went out before they got there. Do you think that they listened to me? Their complaints that came on to the Groupons was it was hot in there. And I explained to them, I said, this has happened to anybody. Your car air conditioner has been out before. Your house air conditioning unit probably has went out before. People are just sensitive. They're not happy with themselves. You can't love yourself. You can't love nobody else.
That's true.
Tell me if I'm wrong or not, man. I'm just being open. I've been around everyone. I've been around Whoopi Goldberg. I've been around Jim Brown. I've been around Prince. I've been around Donna Ross. Of course, you know, from Rap City. I've been around Will Smith and all these people. I'm not talking about traveling with these people.
Yeah.
Traveling with these people. And I knew Randy Jackson and Jermaine from Michael Jackson's family. But we got people.
Yeah.
People got to correct their own problems. I mean, no one hollering and crying is not going to help them. At the end of the day, when they pass away, if they pass away angry, that's the way it's going to be. I would rather for people to pass away happy. We already know that sooner or later that day is coming. I don't care if it's 50, I don't care if it's 70 years or 100 years. We've got to learn to love each other and trust that by complaining it's not going to help anything. I mean, we already don't have a bunch of geniuses. I'm just going to go, man. I can talk forever.
Well, you know, I got this is on my mind with what you said, because I kind of look at it two ways.
Right.
One way is, and I agree with you that comedians should be able to allow. I mean, should be allowed to say what they want to say. Like you say, it's just words.
It's just
words. And it's just words. So I agree with you on that. But then I also look at it as, when you get into like your workplaces and you get people that's around each other that, you know, like if I don't want to see something that a comedian saying, I could always turn the channel. I could not listen.
But say
I'm at work and I got a guy at work that may have saw somebody's show and he saw some
insensitive jokes that he thought was funny, but I didn't think was funny. He wanted to come tell it at the workplace. Now that's in my face, and I can't turn it off.
To you, I know you ain't upset.
Mm-hmm.
Is he not directing himself? Because we already know that people who are in hate groups, mm-hmm. that we can't become a hate group. We can't expect somebody to believe what we believe. Let them say what they say. I mean, even the best people in the world that we thought would never say certain things have said something or done something. People who are in office, who have wives, they've done something, and then they have to, men and women, they have to resign. So a buddy of mine said this. He said, man, I'm going to tell you something. When people are born, everybody is just not programmed right. It means that their wiring system in their brain just didn't connect to the right wires. Sometimes when you see brothers incarcerated all the doggone time, they come out of jail, go back to jail. And obviously, if you're a bad criminal, you shouldn't be doing that because you keep getting caught. You should try something else new. But that's what their mind tells them to do, always stay in trouble. So people, especially black people or any other race, you have to lift up your spirit and understand our ancestors went through a lot, and we didn't see how they were beat, how they were hung, and we sitting here complaining, and we can drive cars, we got white friends, because I do have white guy children, and I'm not going to, and they don't think anything about race.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think anything.
Yeah.
You have white friends, am I correct?
Say, have white who?
Do you have any white friends?
Same I got white some white.
I mean, do you have a white friend?
I have brother, I got to be honest with you. I got white associates, but
okay.
I don't have no
well,
white friend.
It is what
well,
it
just
is.
Well, to put it this way, everybody that you see on TV from Steve Harvey to Monique and all of them, they had to go through white folks to get their jobs and be on those networks that they had.
Yeah.
And then they could have been biased. They could have been biased and not even put them on. But they did.
Mm-hmm.
They put them on.
Right, but see, now, right. This brother Kev, let me hop in, because that's actually part of the problem, because the reason we need white people to put us on is because they
we
have taken all
on.
The resources. You see, no, because they've taken all the resources and hoarded them and stolen resources and kept them to themselves. So now they've allowed certain people, you know, to get a little fame, to get a little money. But we have to keep in mind how they got this particular power, how they got this particular money in order to do this. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so the other thing is, we also have to keep in mind because people.
When they build America, if they didn't build America for us, but they did so much to us because we became America. Once they took us from Africa,
we
actually became more of Americans than they did because guess what? They took it from our homeland.
Right. No, we built America. Like, that's like.
Yeah, we're more
common
knowledge.
We built America.
Somebody over here, and we were born over here, we became more American than white Americans because they can't tell us to go home to what? There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to move to. We live here and we belong here, but we still got to learn how to deal with businesses. We still got to learn, like this comedy club that I opened up inside of someone else's restaurant. Now, is it my problem that I get a comedy show? We had great comedians, and the air conditioner went out. So it went out the first day, and then the guy who came and did the air conditioner, he didn't really check it thoroughly, knowing that they need a new compressor. So it went out again, kind of screwed the whole house. So now the restaurant doesn't make a whole lot of money in food and drinks. So should the restaurant, should they look at us and say, we're the problem? When they can go downstairs in the, you know, where the club was, and there was 100 degrees in that club, and they going to look, so they point their fingers at me, because the first thing that we always see is black stuff. Every time something, when we go into one of our own restaurants, we always pretend and act like we can't do it like the the white person doing. In fact, they kind of wrote the guideline, believe it or not. If you open up a grocery store, you got to follow their guideline. You can't open the grocery store and have hot dogs without chicken, or chicken without hamburgers.
I almost thought you was going to say without watermelon.
But I mean, I'm just being realistic. We gotta look at the places that, or the cars that we drive, the Mercedes Benzes and places, the places that we go at these nice hotels, and understand. If we can do it, we have the money to do those same things. But guess what? We don't do it.
Yeah.
We don't do it on some people, a lot of my friends who own businesses, guess what? They want to open up when they want to open up. They'll start off opening up at 9, next minute they move to 10, next minute they move to 12. Then all of a sudden they never open. They open up at night because they stayed out and partied all night.
Right. Well, yeah. That's.
I'm just
that's
trying to be realistic.
That's real.
I'm not gonna back down on what you know. We got without anything, we can't really talk too much about anything. The more we complain, the more we give more power to the ones that we're complaining about, because they can say, "I got this."
No. No one's complaining. Actually, we're just stating the facts as they are. Like I'm not complaining. Although we do have a right to complain.
Yeah,
you know why?
We do have a right to complain. I just gotta be honest with you, man. I'm kind of like a worldly person. I don't believe in racism. I don't have a mindset to hate any race in the world. I don't need nobody. That's why I'm openly this. I'm not pro-black. I believe that other black people, we have to learn to get along with everybody. You know, what was the saying that you say about black people? They still use that reference today. Black people, we're like crabs in a pot. Every time we got to do something, black people always trying to pull us down. They still saying that. Not me, but people are still saying that. And who are
right,
people?
But the thing with that is, who put the crabs in a bucket? A bucket is not a crab natural habitat. You see what I'm saying? If black people are in communities where resources are scarce and you have to commit crimes to make a living, you know, for some people, then that's crabs in a bucket. Like
you
that's,
are correct.
That's just what
you
it is. You know what I'm
correct.
Saying? So a
like,
bucket is
but
not
I'm
a crab natural habitat.
I don't need no help from no one. That's telling them to stay out of my way. I can get my
there
way.
You go. There you go.
I want to worry about the
I'm
children.
Like,
I want to worry about the children.
There you go.
I don't want us to get too far off a topic neither.
I'm going to Mars.
Yeah, y'all going into a deep conversation now. I ain't want to get too far off
Barack,
the topic.
Chris, well, that's all right. I gotta say nothing. Bernie Mac, you want to say something? Chris, say what you gotta say.
But hey, let me ask Bernie Mac a question. Bernie, is Roseanne Barr is she racist? Is Roseanne racist?
Is who?
Is Roseanne racist?
Roseanne is that gonna happen? Nobody wants her. Nobody wants to tickle her no more. When Tom Arnold left her, that was the last of the Mohicans. She's angry.
Now what about?
This
what about George
point.
Lopez?
A person changed, and this has to do with relationships too, men and women. When they didn't take good care of themselves, and they get old, you know how when we were young, young ladies, they used to talk good to you, and then when they get older, and they wish somebody would holler at them. Same thing with men. If we don't take care of ourselves and keep ourselves up, hell, you can be a good woman and keep yourself up. But soon nobody's calling like they used to. Now it's the world. Now the world is not treating it right. And let's be 100 about this.
Yeah, see, Chris, I took a lot of heat.
Have no man. You have to go get a good man.
I took a whole lot of heat, brother. off of Roseanne's tweet. Because when I heard the tweet, right, when I read it and I looked up the lady, I can't lie, I started laughing. Because I was like, she do kind of look like the chick off the Planet of the Apes. I thought it was funny myself. I thought it was funny. So I caught a lot of heathen people. I thought it was funny. I just said, to me, it was like she joned on her and she got the best of her.
It is.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Am I wrong, brother?
No, you are wrong, too. A reference, I mean, but as I say, here we go again. They are sensitive. People are sensitive and they want to have something to talk about. And if you don't believe, think their way, then something is wrong with you.
But look, check it out.
Now, what about George Lopez?
Real quick, let me respond, because I don't think it's about people being sensitive. I think it's about people understanding where these jokes lead to. You see what I'm saying? Because do you call Jews sensitive who make a complaint about the Holocaust jokes or people making Holocaust jokes? You see what I'm saying? They've disconnected Farrakhan's Twitter page because they called him anti-Semitic because he was talking about the Jews.
Okay.
You see,
hey, you
when
brought
the Jews,
up a good.
The Jews say something. If you make a Holocaust joke, you best believe them Jews go shut your show down. Bottom line.
What you think about that, Chris?
You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to talk about that because they were killed. And they were lynched. I mean, they were trying to use black people for labor. They were actually killed for being a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Black people. Some people kill black people for being black. But overall, the Jews, they were killed for being Jewish. It was called like the cleansing. Jews, I mean, white skin is white skin to me, so I never knew who was Jewish and who was black unless they wore that little turban that they have on their head. That's the only time I know. Or the name Goldberg or something like that.
So what you think about that, Chris? Is that true? You think... If you make a joke about, you know, the Holocaust or something like that, is that true? Is they coming for you?
I think that would be very sensitive. I think people need to watch out for that.
Thank you.
Dang.
But black jokes are cool. See what I'm saying? We can talk
no,
about
black
people.
No, black jokes ain't cool
day.
Either.
Or calling black people monkeys.
I think I
get
getting lynched and getting killed.
Yeah,
right, I think I get what he's saying.
Look like somebody from the planet and everybody looking off.
Right, I think this is what he's saying, Brother Kev. I think what he's saying is, like, it's not right to joke about the Holocaust, you know, the acts, just like it's not right to joke about the acts of slavery. But when you saying a woman look like somebody off the Planet of the Apes, I think that's different. That's not the same thing. That's just,
it's not the
you
same
mean,
thing.
Yeah, that's different.
Talking to black
that's
person,
why.
A monkey. How is that
I
different?
Mean, she,
like, whether you think it's funny
looks,
or not, we talking about the historical implications.
What? She look like a monkey to me. I'm sorry.
They, do you know that they have images of Michelle and Barack Obama as monkeys? You don't think that was racism, or was that funny? They look like monkeys. There's one that pull up on the internet of Barack and Michelle Obama, people calling them monkeys and referring to them as monkeys. Was that
now,
racist?
See, that's different,
not?
Though.
Yes or no? No. How's that different? See,
that's
no.
Different.
How's that different?
Because
how is that different?
Because they called them a monkey, but that woman did look like the chick from the Planet
now,
of the Apes.
We're not talking about whether she looked like it or not. We're talking about whether it was a racist joke.
I don't think it was a racist joke.
But okay, so I'm asking, so calling Michelle and Barack Obama monkeys, is that racist or not? Seeing those images.
Hello?
You know,
yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I really enjoyed the discussion. Please invite me back to the show again. All right.
You got to head out. Hey, brother, we appreciate you. Thanks
yeah,
for calling in, man. You got any announcements that you want
to
make?
DC. Come to the comedy club.
Where you at again?
Washington, D.C. comedy club called the Comedy Corner.
The Comedy Corner.
Thanks,
all right.
Chris. Thanks for calling in, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
All right, right
thank
on.
You.
All right. Yeah.
All right, bro. Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir. We in here. So, yeah, I mean, by people calling Michelle and Barack Obama monkeys, clearly racist, and by Roseanne referring to this black woman as a child of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes, that is racist. Like, I don't see, I really don't see how it's not. Like, I really don't. Like, I'm confused as to what are y'all looking at. I think y'all just saying, okay, there's no racism. That's just one person making a joke against another person. And not keeping in the historical context of how monkey images have been used to dehumanize black people. I keep repeating that because I don't know if y'all understand how this happened throughout history. How we come to the point where you can shoot a 12-year-old kid in a park and nobody, the man gets off. Because throughout the years, we have been dehumanized through imagery, through words, through science, you know, through the medical industries, like all these things that played a part in us being dehumanized. Therefore, it's easy to kill a 12-year-old in a park playing with a toy gun. So I don't understand how y'all think. Like, everything starts off as a joke. Jim Crow started out as a joke. You see, Jim Crow started out as a joke. And then
so the joke's about
something serious.
So do you feel the same way when we crack jokes about, you know, President 45 and his skin complexion, his tone, his hair? Do you feel the same way when we crack jokes on him for how he looked?
No, because that's the difference.
Well, you know he lost.
But if we crack a joke about him being orange and pale, like, he does have a fake orange spray tan. Like,
just like old girl look. Just like old girl look like the people from the Planet of Apes.
No, but it's a different power dynamic, because if a black person says that,
oh, Lord,
what are we going to do? Like, you don't. Okay, now let me ask you this, since you said, oh, Lord, do black and white people collectively have the same power within this society?
That's where, in my opinion, we going too far with the joke. We want to mix in the power dynamic and all that with a Joan. It was just a Joan.
She's
Joan, though.
Then you can say that. You can say when they started joking about Jim Crow, those were just Jones and jokes. Oh, they were just joking until it got for real. And we saw the effects of Jim Crow, but it started out as a joke.
Mm. Roger, you was getting ready to make a point. Go ahead.
Well, no, I wasn't, but I would like to say something, and then we can try to take some calls. But I think, you know, they used when they were calling black monkeys and all those bad terms. A lot of them was call themselves joking too, because they was laughing. They laughed at us, you know. So
them
it ain't even about.
They were laughing when they was hanging people on the postcard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't think we can just say it was just a joke, you know, because.
But what does that? All what y'all saying. But all that y'all saying, in my opinion, is still different from Roseanne cracking on old girl. That seem like two different things to me.
But so let me ask you this, and then let's take a call. Are you saying that you really think that Roseanne was just Joanie? You think Roseanne bore Joanie?
Yeah, I think she was.
Okay,
I think she was.
Okay. Let's take a call. Let's go call 314-616. Caller, are you there? Have a question or comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Indeed. Loud and clear.
We hear you.
Okay. Last time.
What's up, bro?
What's the title of the message?
Well, today we were talking about, it's kind of twofold. it's kind of twofold because this stemmed off of a conversation we had last week about what is it to be racist, and all this is centered around Roseanne Barr's tweet. So, but our topic today was, you know, can comedians, or you know, do they go too far with their jokes? You know, is it a such thing as a comedian going too far?
What exactly is it that she tweeted? Because I kind of heard about some things. I really didn't give a lot of energy to it, but I know whatever it was, it kind of caused her to lose the spot on the new show that she was starting again. What did she say?
One of y'all got the straightforward
setup info? Yeah, I got it. Well, what it was, she had tweeted about this lady, Valerie Jarrett, who used to work under Obama. And she had tweeted, she looks like a mix between the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby, or something to that effect. I'm kind of paraphrasing. But she compared the lady to the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes.
I think, likely it may have had a racial derogative, but I think as melanated people, we need to stop giving our energy to what white folk is saying about us. And you become so sensitive and you're so hurt because you want to be just like them, you know?
Right.
And
right.
I think that we need to refocus our direction on what's more important, because whether it's Roseanne or whoever it is, it's always going to be something. And we have to stop being so reactionary to things and especially for what it is.
Indeed. And I agree with that 100%. Like I said last week, I agree with that 100%. We should not be even worried about what Roseanne is saying or how she feel about us. Although I do believe it was a racist tweet, but I don't think we should be tripping as the, caller should.
One thing that I can say in the comedy world is what I can appreciate about comedy is comedy can be said to bring healing to you, but I also see some comedians that can deliver a message, you know, and I really believe, I don't believe in white supremacy system, but because they had this thing called freedom of speech, I feel like people should be able to say whatever they want to say. And if you don't like it, turn the channel, shut them off your Twitter line or whatever it is. But I think that, from Roseanne, this other guy, Gary Owen or whatever his name is, he had kind of got a lot of backlash because he had did something where I guess he's married to a black woman, and she was saying the N-word for him or something to that situation. So I just think that if we want to change the condition and we want to stop giving energy to this thing, we have to begin to love ourselves and give them back the things that they gave to us, because we want to be so much like white folks that we use their words. Like if one person calls us the N-word, it's a certain reaction, and we use their word on a daily basis. That's the kind of thing I don't get. So when I hear white people use their word, I don't get mad. You know, it's when we use their word that I say to myself, man, you know, when are we going to get this thing back to them? But, you know, I understand that, you know, in their matrix, it's important that we adopt their ideology. You know, we see ourselves as them. That's why, you know, we can't let go of Jesus and Santa Claus and the N-word and everything else.
Now, brother, I gotta challenge you on something, brother. I need you to do some homework for me. You hear me, caller?
Yeah.
I want you to Google up Valerie Jarrett. Just Google up Valerie Jarrett. And when you Google up this woman's picture, just remember the tweet that Roseanne said about she looked like a cross between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Planet Apes.
I don't know this person, and she very may well look like that person, you know. Yeah, she may very well look like that person. So if she does, am I supposed to be upset for her, you know, calling the spade a spade?
Now, what I'm saying, I think it was just a joke. I mean, it was a joke. She got
him. Like, you know, this other guy that used to play on Seinfeld, the Jewish guy, didn't he get blackballed a few years back for saying the N-word? So, you know, my thing is, one, why do you act so surprised when white people do these kind of things? And then, two, you know, why should we be given the authority to do the same thing to them and it's not looked at or seen as being racist, which, like Brother Kevin said, racism can be defined differently when you're talking about different cultural sects because, you know, while we exercise what we think is racism, it's generally name-calling. But when they exercise their racism, it's an actual economic system that will prevent people from getting ahead. Case in point, you know, we're here in June. Over the last month, there's been a lot of graduations. You know, I don't believe in the educational system. You know, some people are excited about going to college and graduating, you know, to college or whatever, but we don't even realize that college has become the new debt matrix in white supremacy. There are more black people graduating off into college, but it has not changed our economic status because they control who gets in and who doesn't. And systematically, you may have you and your circle may be successful, but collectively as a whole, because they own this institution, they decide who gets in and who doesn't. And so you may have more degrees than a thermometer, but they've created a situation where now you have $100,000 on your back, and you have nothing to show for it, but a certificate of completion. So that ultimately is what racism does when they exercise it versus me, you know, calling a person a name. You know, you're a crack, you're a color part trash, you know.
Exactly. See, that's the part that I was trying to explain to, you know, to Brother Mufasa is it's different. If we call them a name, it's just name calling. What are we going to do? We don't affect how groups of white people live and move, how they're educated, but they do. You see, they do affect our communities, how we're educated, so on and so forth. So it's a different dynamic, you know, when we do
so
the name call.
So we tie this into the question. So to the call, I'm going to ask you, are there any boundaries or limitations that comedians should not cross? Would you say, you saying yes or no, as far as comedians, should they?
Go ahead, bro. Based on the occupation and the so-called freedom of speech, we'll just put that out there. I think anybody has the right to say anything. You know, now, how you receive it or how you react is something different. And again, you know, now maybe she loses this show, but she doesn't lose her privilege. Now, say something about Jewish folks, and we talking about a whole new ballpark.
Exactly.
Because they're the ones that controls all the media, all the banks, all the things that you read, all your YouTubes, all the everything. So I find it interesting. But just from a comical standpoint, I think that you know, a person based on that kind of occupation, they should be allowed to say anything. And if you pay careful attention to it, like I say, you know, some of these comedians, like a Eddie Griffin, you know, they can say things jokingly that can be an eye opener.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true.
That's pretty much my position on it. And you know, as melanated people, we have to just stop being so reactionary and so sensitive. And you know, I'm just so shocked. He said, "Why are you shocked? Do you not know that most white people hate you?
Exactly.
Are you retarded?
Right. You've been sleeping. Come on, brother. You were shocked. You have not been paying attention. But yeah, that's right on, Carl. I appreciate that deal.
All right, guys.
All right, on. Peace. So, Brother Kev and Roger, I got to ask y'all. So, I'm assuming y'all both, well, I guess I asked the question, y'all. Should there be boundaries and limitations, Brother Kev, that comedians should not cross?
I think there should and there shouldn't be. Like I say, it's a really touchy subject. You know what I'm saying? I think it should and it should be because you should be able really to say whatever you want to say. That's what freedom of speech is. And for me, I like to know who my races are. I prefer my racism up front. So if you don't like black people, I'm cool with my feelings not going to be hurt. You know, I don't get hurt by the nigger word, by what a white person says, and none of that. So I really do feel like, yeah, you should be able to say anything you want. But then I also know that there are certain lines like, you know, child molestation or some type of jokes that are just insensitive, you know, to things. You know what I'm saying? But depending on how you craft the joke and how you say it, it can get a laugh. Like, I don't know. But like I say, it's a very fine line, and you have to be careful and socially responsible. But you should be able to say anything. If somebody gets offended, then they have the option to look away or, you know, turn the channel. So,
because basically I'm still stuck in that cross of where, like I was saying to Chris, that now I agree. I don't think it should be any boundaries or limitations set on comedians neither. But, like I said, the problem with that is when you say that they don't have no boundaries or limitations, okay, well, what makes them any different than anybody else? So that means anybody should be able to say what they want to say. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So
right.
where that comes a problem is when you ain't up on the stage getting a laugh, when you at the workplace or you out in the streets, and, you know, if you feel free to say whatever you want to say, just know you can be met with some harsh repercussions. You know, because some people don't want
right.
to. Some people don't want to hear that. Some people don't want
right.
to hear or see that. If it's a comedian, I know I could turn the comedian off. But if I'm out and about, I may not be able to turn that person off. So I might get in my feelings. I might react, you know, in a negative way. I mean, would y'all agree
right.
with that? So it's kind of a double-edged sword. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. You know, but I would say, you know, even out in public, if someone says something, you have the option to just walk away or not
mm-hmm.
respond or not react to what they say. You know, I dig what you're saying, though, as far as comedians being on stage, but then somebody may bring that to the workplace or what have you. And then, you know, different jobs and different companies have different criteria how they deal with, you know, insensitive jokes or harassment or whatever you want to call it. So it just depends. But if you're just out in the store and somebody say something or make a joke or reference towards you, how do you respond? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the protocol or what's the code on that?
Yeah, you know, that's like if Roseanne Barr cracked that joke, that tweet on the old girl, but let's just say somebody else would have saw it was somebody else that looked like that, and she in the Walmart, and somebody just be like, you look like a cross between, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet Apes.
Right. Right.
So it's like, wait a minute, hold on. So with that, when I look at it from that point of view, it makes me say, yeah, comedians should have limitations on what they say, because that all that trickles down. You know what I'm saying? And it could be a whole problem
mm-hmm.
in another setting.
Right.
So
this
who are
true.
We to say that comedians can do and say what they want to say, but the average Joe can't? That ties in also with the N-word. We want to say that Black people should be allowed to use the N-word, but other groups of people shouldn't. You know, so all
right.
that stuff kind of ties in. So I can't lie, I'm kind of torn on this a little bit, because part of me want to say yes, they should have limitations on and boundaries on what they say, just on the strength because I know it trickles down to other places. But I do agree also that, I mean, it is just words, and people should be able to be straightforward and allowed to say what they want to say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards that way. I feel like people should be able to say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, everything can be out front and open. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm with that. But, you know, if you make, like I said, you make some insensitive jokes about, you know, things that are just taboo and crazy, then that's on you. But you still should be able to say those things. You know what I'm saying? You still should be able to say that and express how you feel. Like I'm with that. I don't necessarily like the politically correct climate that we live in today, where people gotta watch their words and I can't say this because it might offend such and such. And I'll say it that way, you know, they know where you stand. Like I'm cool with that.
Facts.
I'm definitely
so where
cool
you where you at? Where your stance again? What's your stance again, Roger?
Well, before I even go there, I love to answer. Let's take a call real fast and I'll respond after that. Let's see if we have somebody that may want to provide a comment. We'll take caller 314-381. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, how y'all doing? You know,
Hey, how you?
Good.
One of the problems here is that you got some black voices or groups or hosts or commentators that want to claim everything that's not Lily White to be black. And this woman, Valerie Garrett, and I despise her for other things, that woman's not mm-hmm. black as you know it in America. That woman is Persian. Heck,
uh-oh.
He said Merkel's black. Merkel's not black. She's not no African. Well, she might be black, because black can mean any daggone thing. But she surely ain't no African-American. And Valerie Jarek is not African-American. So why is it that anytime you see somebody, and she does look like a cross between Planet of the Apes character.
Yeah.
Why is it that black folks always want to claim something that is not Lily White to be black? Oh, that's one of us. All the way back to Hansen. He was the first black president. Hoover. He was the first black FBI director.
Right.
George, what's his name? Eisenhower. That's a bunch of ignorant bullcrap.
So you say, really, we jumped in the fight. We shouldn't even got involved then.
Hell no. And, you know, here's another thing. You know, well, look at the stuff that Richard Pryor used to say about white folks.
Yeah.
He said some stuff on a stage in Texas. He got ran off the damn stage. Whites ran him off the damn place. And, no, there shouldn't be no limit on comedians because people pay to come hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that reports something that wasn't said in there, then they stealing it because they didn't pay to hear it. You know,
right.
You can't go to some place and record a concert and take it out and make mm-hmm. some CDs and go out and cut them. You're going to get your head beat in for doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah.
Malcolm X,
I mean,
look what he called white folks. Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad. That's just
devil.
On that side of the religion.
Devil.
Right, but the thing is, the only thing that results to is name calling, because even with them calling those people names, nothing has happened. You see what I'm saying? But when white
and
people
let me
call
tell
us
you,
names, there's a different dynamic. They can
well,
make shit happen.
Black folks call themselves all kind of names. And I ain't going to even go there, but you know, somebody say that blacks don't have this kind of economic. You do have blacks that has economic power in areas that whites are not in. Now, here's the point. When you start looking at these upper levels, you got blacks up there, but there's a place where they drop off. And you got too many blacks, and for various reasons. They may like to be there. That's in what's called poverty. And that's what needs to be done something to. Now, here's another point. Look at Mexico. When you talk about illegal being in the country, blacks would take up for these Mexicans. Oh, my goodness, they separating the kids. Well, hell, if a parent go out to do something, to commit a crime, why are they allowed to take the kids with them? If you do that in the States, they're going to take your kid away from you and put them in foster care. So
right.
Once a mother walk across that border illegally, she has committed a crime, and she dragging her kids across the border with her. Now, American taxpayers is supposed to take care of these kids. That's a bunch of bull crap. I ain't taking care of nobody else's kids.
Mm.
Another point. Look at Mexico and that postage stamps that they got. Meming penguin. It's a black caricature. Big lips, dark as coal. Big old eyes, big red nose, big old floppy chimpanzee's ears. Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico, said he ain't taking that down. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all the other usual suspects.
It is what it is.
Said it was racist.
Uh-huh.
Look at the Netherlands.
Right, I was just
what
about
is
to
that
speak
guy?
On
what
that.
They calling?
They,
Pete?
They got the Pete, yeah, the Black Pete, the Black Pete.
Right. You think you going
right.
to the Netherlands and call that racist? It beat the hell out
of
you.
Oh, they have been called it racist. It's been called racist. They just ain't done nothing about it because it's tradition. But there are some racial implications to it.
But really, the thing is not racist. Racism is not illegal until you violate a person's civil rights.
You didn't get a chance to call in last week. We didn't hear from you, but we talked about what is racism.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your opinion, tell us what is racism.
When you violate somebody's civil rights, when you say that you don't want your daughter dating a white man or a black man, that ain't racism. Because she can go out and marry who the hell she want to.
Right.
When you say that you don't want to live with nobody, that's your prerogative.
Yes.
But you can't keep somebody from living for you legally. Now, I know how it goes on in St. Louis up on the hill.
The people who say that are the people who have the power to do those things, exactly what you're saying. So they may say, yeah, I don't want a black person living next to me, and they have the power to do that based on the systematic structure that's in place.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
You know,
Goodfellow Avenue, you know where you cross Goodfellow on West Florida. You know where it is, don't you?
Yes, sir. I was just
you know where the railroad tracks going on, right? Some
yes,
houses
sir.
To the left. I own about three or four of them houses. It was some Negroes I didn't let get in there.
Right, but you're
I
not
say
mad.
It again. I was
no
a
black.
Racist. It was some blacks
no.
I didn't want in there and didn't let get in my houses.
Man, you racist, brother.
Goddamn right I'm racist. I'm proud to be one in that case.
Right, but you can't be racist against other black people. That's not even.
I've been racist against whites. I ain't going to tell you how, but I was an employer, and some of my employees was probably Klan members. I didn't give a damn, long as they got the job done. They could have went home in the weekend and burned crosses, walked around with hoods on, beat their wives,
right.
kicked the damn dog, and had traffic violation. When they came to work
right.
for me, they done me a job.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's business.
So
it's
black
business
folks need
business.
To start looking at things different. Stop letting folks get you all riled up, get you hard on, pissing down your leg when they say certain things. It ain't
right.
nothing.
Agreed.
It's
say
not
what they
want to
say.
You got 35,000 plus black millionaires in this country. That number is too small. That's like one in every 1,000, 1,100.
Right, because there's 14 million, quote-unquote, black people living here. So that's a small number.
So,
well, you
so
got
I
got
to ask you this, so...
Yeah.
Is there any statement, is there anything you can say? Like, we're looking at that tweet, that Roseanne Barr tweet. I don't think that was a racist tweet. But can you give me an example of a racist statement? Something that somebody could say that, okay, you can say, oh, yeah, that's racist.
I don't, but listen what I tell you, man. Yeah, I can tell you something about it. I ain't going to give you a job because you're black. That's racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's
and
racist.
Act upon it. That's
right. That's the act. There you
because
go.
Because you violated
that's
their
what I'm
civil
saying.
Rights.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
See,
that's why I can't look at a tweet of her saying that a woman looked like looked the way she looked. That's not racist.
You know what, man? Let me tell you something. You know where Missouri Pacific is over there. You know when you 44. You take Hampton on across and you go across that bridge to get on Highway 44. And down on them tracks. That's Missouri Pacific. Back in the day, some older brothers in the neighborhood went over there to apply for a job. So I tagged along with them, man. We walked a long damn way. You're talking about from Page and Goodfellow. But anyway, we got over there, and they were filling out an application. I asked the white guy, I said, can I fill out an application too? He said, have you ever bumped your leg? And I said, yes. You know, like on the shin of your leg? And he said, have you ever bumped your elbow? You know how you bump your elbow and you get that crazy feeling? I said, yeah. He said, well, those would leave calcium deposits, which would disqualify you for this job. Well, that was racism. That was racism. He didn't say he didn't want me dating this white daughter. He didn't say he didn't want me living. He said that. That's racism.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was kept
right.
me from filling out an application where I could further improve on my life. I tell you
yeah.
something else I hear, too. People are talking about white supremacy and getting on the alt-right or white nationalist. Ain't nothing wrong with being a white nationalist. How many black nationalists we got? You got a whole bunch of them. How many Asian nationalists you got? When you go into an Asian store and you start talking to them, they say, me speak no English, they know what the hell you saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They
now,
are expressing Asian nationalism. When they sell to you or don't sell to you, when they sell to their own kiss and kin and give them a cheaper price than they give, that's white, that's Asian nationalism. It's nothing wrong with being a white nationalist.
No,
as a matter of fact,
and
not only that, white supremacy. White supremacy has nothing to do with white people thinking they more better than you. If they do, they crazy as hell. What white supremacy is when you look at things like offshore oil well drilling, when you look at boycotts and sanctions, when you look at equity finance, that's white supremacy because the majority of the time, the face behind it is white. And it is diminishing.
Right. Now,
go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, there's nothing wrong with being a quote-unquote white nationalist or a white supremacist. The problem is we know historically how violent these people have been. You see what I'm saying? So there's nothing wrong with it in theory. But these have been the most violent people in the world towards non-white people. So that is the problem. You
well,
know,
they've been violent towards white too.
But the majority
didn't Stalin kill 20 million Russians?
Yeah, but the majority is geared towards black people and darker nations. The darker people of the planet are the most oppressed all around the world. You see. And if a few white people get swooped up in that, then that's just what it is. But they are not the target, you see.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You go over there in Eastern Europe, in Bosnia, Herzegovina, you see how them people have been treated, bombed and stuff and carrying on. White power would go after. Look at ancient Egypt. Look at Menkheper Ra Tahuti Mase. He kicked ass. He went into a town called Megiddo. And when he left out of there, that's where the word Armageddon comes from. Because the people said it looked like the end of the world when he left out of there. And they was expansionists. They went all up into Persia, all up into Turkey. And they killed people to make that domain. So you're talking about many times, they ain't saying you personally. What people are saying, they're just making a reflection on human nature. Human beings do these things. They do good things. They do bad things. Pol Pot killed how many in Vietnam? Stalin killed 20 million. It just and you don't want me to start talking about Africans killing people. Look, 800,000 in Rwandans.
Sound like a
in
sound
like
what,
30
a
days
show.
Or something like that?
That sounds like a right. future show. You know, hey, Brother Priyanki,
like
please man, let us know are you still doing a blog talk show yourself right now?
I ain't never done no blog talk show.
Okay, that must have been that
I
was
just
another
call
guy
in sometime on the particular topics. And hey,
okay.
You know you really want to look at some devastation. And I know we got women on here. Black women aborted between 1973 to 2005. Guess how many? 18 million. 18 million black babies. That's like at the rate of 50 an hour, 1,200 a day. 18 million. That's more than half your damn population.
Mm. Wow. That's rough.
Yep.
Hey, brother. Hey, we're going to get ready to wrap up. So, hey, appreciate you calling in and blessing us
appreciate
with the news, brother. We
always appreciate the call.
Yeah, we got about 6-7 minutes to go, y'all. So, man, we kind of veered off track a little bit.
Yeah, we was all over the place.
It was all good.
Yeah, we was all over the place.
Bring it on back home.
But, I mean, I think everybody made some good points. Like, if we get back to the Roseanne thing, just real quick, I don't think she should have lost that show or anything like that. You know, I just feel like, well, I thought it was a racist tweet, but I don't think we should have been up in arms. You know, I don't think we should be on social media complaining or calling for a job or none of that. You know what I'm saying? I just think we need to be bigger people and understand, like, hey, if you don't, I expect that behavior. So when I get it, it's not a shock. My feelings not hurt, and we can move on. So now I just know to put her on that list you know, so she just confirmed, basically she just confirmed that she's a racist.
Now, even after all, even after the fact that our last caller just dropped, you still believe that that was a racist tweet?
What fact, though? What fact did he drop as far as what?
The act. It is the race being racist.
But she has the power to do those acts. Now, I'm not with Roseanne 24 hours, but by her making that tweet, she has a right to discriminate against the black person. She's in a position of power to hire and fire people.
But what did that have to do about her tweet about Valerie?
Because if she thinks that black people are less than, then she would treat them as such. That's what it has to be.
But she didn't say, that's the thing, she didn't say black people. She was talking about a specific person who did look like the description that she said. And also, so I guess, would you disagree too what the brother said about her being Persian? Y'all disagree with that?
I don't know. She could be Persian. But again, she could be Persian. So I don't know. She could be.
So
that's very legitimate. She very well could be, but that the thing is, do white people see her as white, or do they see her as non-white? That's the question.
Right. And Roger, you looking at this the same way, Roger? You think let's go ahead and do our final. Go ahead and do our wrap up. Where you at with this? You still think after what we talked about that her tweet was racist? She went too far. Was it racist or was it distasteful in what she said?
Well, like I said earlier when I gave my view, I think for me to know for certain that it was racist, I would have to know Roseanne's intent behind it. You know, I don't know. But like I said before, if I'm doing my crosses, to do my crosses, I do have more lines on that side, but I can't say for certain. I think I would have to know her intent. That's just me being true to the game. That's just really the best way I can sum it up, I definitely think it was distasteful regardless, it was distasteful flat out, but it can be distasteful also and racist, but it was definitely distasteful because I, for one, feel like, yeah, we have freedom of speech, but you still Edward, you can call yourself a comedian all day. I can call myself a doctor, I can call myself a lawyer, but I'm still a person and I'm still a human. I'm that first. So I'm a human on stage even as a comedian. So I think we should still have discretion. It's just for me as a human, I wouldn't want to say something that I know. Now, if I know I'm going to say something that people are going to be happy about and they're going to laugh, there's one thing, but I would be cautious. Me personally, I think about people's feelings. So I just feel like we should have boundaries. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, And like I said, from my experience being around all the comedians, a lot of comedians that I've been around, I do know that they try to use that as a fallback. I'm a comedian.
I got you. Let's give Brother Kale 60 seconds to give his ending comment.
I gave mine, so I was going to say, y'all can go ahead. I'm good,
Okay.
I'm pretty much summed it up. Go back in the archives and listen, but yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I guess me, myself, as far as the racist tweet, I still believe it wasn't racist because, to me, being racist, you got to have an act behind it. And what you said about the chick, to me, it was just a joke. But, hey, this collective minds, we got difference of opinions. That's how it is. And as far as the comedians going too far, and we need to put some boundaries on them, hey, maybe we need to. Maybe we should. I can't say. It's up in the air. But we'll see y'all again next Sunday with something else, with a new conversation. Collective Minds signing out. Just to be a
Sit.